Chapter 10. Everyone at the table turned to Darcy as if she had screamed out a curse in the middle of dinner.
"Darcy, what are you saying?" Jamie asked.
"I'm saying I'm not all right," Darcy repeated, her hands beginning to tremble.
"What about that, didn't you understand?"
"Darcy, you got problems," Jamie protested.
"This is the best news ever. Why can't you just be happy for once?"
Darcy shook off the tears that threatened to well in her eyes.
"You just don't get it, Jamie. You never do."
"Darcy, what's wrong?" Dad asked. "I thought you'd be thrilled at the news."
"I am, Dad, but you guys shouldn't have kept this from us. Not for this long," Darcy said, wiping her eyes. "For weeks you've been walking around like something was wrong. And whenever I asked you about it, you said it was nothing. You guys were lying, and I could see it in your eyes," Darcy admitted. "I was worried, like maybe you two were about to split up again or something."
Jamie turned away, unable to hold Darcy's gaze.
"I'm sorry, baby," Mom said, reaching across and grabbing Darcy's hand.
"But I'm not young anymore, and lots of things can go wrong. We were waiting to see what the doctor said. And to be honest, it was a big decision for your father and me."
"It's a big decision for all of us," Darcy countered. "Before Grandma died, we used to talk about everything. Even though things were tough, we were a family. Now you never talk to us. It's like we're strangers in this house. You don't even ask me what I'm doing anymore. Instead, you're always too tired or stressed or I don't know what," Darcy said, frustrated at her own words. She didn't want to accuse her parents or push them away. She just wanted them closer. Yet she couldn't bring herself to ask. A tear rolled down along her cheek. Darcy's mother nodded, getting up from the table and walking over to Darcy.
"Oh, baby, I am so sorry," she said, putting her arm on Darcy's shoulder. "We didn't know what we were putting you through. I know things have been rough around here since Mama passed away. But believe me, there is nothing more important to your father and me than you two. And that's never going to change, you hear me?"
Darcy looked up into her mother's eyes. She was surprised to see tears in them. Dad was next to her and Jamie next to him. They were all staring at her with concern and love. Darcy's heart ached for them, for her deceased grandmother, for the family they once were and could still be. She wiped her eyes.
"Jamie's right about me," Darcy said, turning away from their intense gaze. "I do have problems."
"I didn't mean it, Darcy," Jamie said. "I'm sorry."
"But you were right."
"What are you saying, Darcy? There's nothing wrong with you."
"No, Dad, there is."
"Baby, tell us what you mean," Mom said. Darcy shook her head, no longer able to hide her own dark secret, her fears.
"Something happened to me that day."
Darcy paused, angry at how vulnerable and crazy she sounded.
"That day I was attacked by Brian."
Dad's forehead creased with concern, and he kneeled down next to her. Jamie looked stunned, as if someone had slapped her in the face.
"I'm just not the same, Mom. I can't sleep. I get nervous when I'm around guys. I'm scared all the time. So scared," she said, a great tide shifting in her chest. "I don't know what to do."
"Why didn't you tell us about this?"
"I guess I wanted to keep it a secret. You guys seem so stressed all the time. I just didn't want to make things worse for you, but I can't hide it anymore,"
Darcy admitted, beginning to sob.
"I need help, Mom," she said, tears flowing freely from her eyes. "I need help."
Darcy felt Mom's arms wrap around her tightly, and she closed her eyes. It was as if she was a child again, safe in Grandma's arms.
"We're going to get you the help you need, baby," her mother said. "I know some good counselors at the clinic and the hospital. Everything's going to be all right, I promise you."
For a time, Darcy sobbed as the stress and worry in her mind
gradually gave way to relief, and the night's news slowly began to sink in.
"I can't believe you're having a baby," Darcy said, looking up at her parents. "We really are a family, aren't we?"
"Yes, we are, and we're about to get bigger," Dad said.
"I wish Grandma was here," Jamie said. "This will make her so happy."
"I know, Jamie, but don't worry. I told Grandma all about this before she died. She knew before your father did," Mom said with a smile. "You know what she said? I always imagined you with three kids, Maddie. Now I know why."
Weary after the family dinner, Darcy took the cordless phone, went into her room, and dialed Tara's number.
"Hello?"
"Tara, it's me. I need to talk to you," Darcy said.
"Girl, it's about time. I've been meaning to call you, but I just got off the phone with Coop. Turns out old Larry Nye didn't fire him. So many workers complained about Dwayne that his dad decided to kick him out of the garage. I guess it's true. What goes around comes around," Tara said.
"That's cool," Darcy said nervously, trying to find the right way to say what was really on her mind.
"Darce, what's going on?" Tara asked. "I ain't never seen you as upset as you were last night. You got me worrying over here."
"Tara, I have a lot of explaining to do," Darcy said, taking a deep breath. "I'm so sorry for what happened with Troy and for acting so weird lately. I never told you this, but something happened to me after Hakeem left."
Without holding anything back, Darcy recounted the whole story about Brian Mason from the moment they met to the time he attacked her. Before Tara could even respond, Darcy explained how the attack changed her, leaving her edgy, unable to rest. She then told her about the panic attack and the episode in the park with Troy.
"I just couldn't control it, the way he grabbed me. Oh, Darce, why didn't you say something to me, girl? I knew something was eating at you, that you were unhappy. I could see it on your face as plain as day. Honestly, I was getting scared," Tara said.
"I didn't want you to know. I guess I was afraid of what you'd think." "Girl, I understand that, but I'm your friend. You shouldn't keep secrets from the people that care about you. We're just here to help. That's why God made us friends and put us in this crazy world together," Tara said, her words strong and pure, as if they came straight from her heart. "Besides, I know some real good people where I work that help girls all the time who are dealing with stuff like this. Whenever you're ready, let me know. Counselors are there all the time every day. I'll even go with you if you want."
"Are you serious?"
"Of course I am. What kind of friend would I be if I didn't?"
"Tara, you're the best," Darcy said, suddenly feeling relieved as if Tara had just taken a great weight off her shoulders.
"I know. That's what Coop says all the time," she said with a laugh.
Darcy sighed, grateful Tara was in her life. She had become more than just a friend. She was like another sister. But then Darcy thought of Brisana and how not far away she was home, waiting for a phone call, looking for help from a friend, hoping for an answer from Darcy.
"There's something else I gotta ask you."
"Shoot, girl, I'm listening."
"A friend of mine thinks she might be pregnant. She doesn't know where to go, and she made me promise not to tell anyone."
Tara suddenly got quiet, and Darcy knew what she was thinking. Of course Tara would figure it out. Who else could it be? But at least Darcy had followed Brisana's wishes, keeping her name hidden. Tara would understand that.
"Is she okay, Darce?" Tara asked, her voice filled with concern.
"She needs to find out. She's upset."
"Tell her to go to the clinic and see Dr. Stiles. If you go in early, you should be able to see her. She's the one all the teenage girls go to. She'll be in tomorrow," Tara said.
"Darcy, if the test is positive, they're gonna have to contact her parents."
After a brief talk on the phone, Darcy convinced Brisana to meet her in front of the Brown Street Community Center at 8:30 a.m.
"I'll be there with you every step of the way, I promise," Darcy said, until Brisana reluctantly agreed to go.
Out on the clear street, the air was cool and clear, but the morning sun had already glowed overhead with yellow fire. In a few hours, it would be a hot summer day. Darcy could feel it. For a second, as she made her way to the clinic, Darcy wondered if Brisana would even show up, but then she spotted her walking down the street, her eyes dark and stormy.
"I'm scared. What if I'm pregnant, Darcy? What am I going to do?"
"Let's just wait and see what happens," Darcy said as they walked into the glass and stucco building. The main hallway led to a corridor lined with door labels that made Darcy cringe. Family Planning Office, Rape and Abuse Crisis Center, Counseling and Psychological Services Office. The signs made her tremble, reminding her of her own demons and the counseling she would need for herself. But that would happen another day. At the end of the hall, Darcy spotted the sign she wanted, Medical Clinic. "This way," she said, guiding Brisana gently, her hand on her back. They stepped into a waiting room with a gray tile floor and muted pink walls. Against the far side of the room was a row of plastic chairs and a table full of magazines. A small TV was bolted overhead in the far corner of the room. It was tuned to a morning talk show that Darcy didn't recognize. Straight ahead was a receptionist in a white shirt holding a clipboard.
"Can I help you?"
"Yeah, we're here to see Dr. Stiles," Darcy said. She could feel Brisana shaking.
"Are you sisters?
Is one of you over 18? The woman asked.
"No, we're friends. I'm 16 and I'm afraid I'm pregnant," Brisana said, her voice shaky and rough.
"Can I please see the doctor?"
The receptionist nodded understandingly.
"Normally we don't see people who are under 18 without a parent. But I'll see what the doctor says. For now, fill these out," she said and handed Brisana some forms.
Darcy led Brisana to a seat and helped her complete the paperwork and return the sheets to the receptionist.
"I'm so glad you're here with me, Darce. I don't know what I'd do without you."
"It's okay, Brisana. I'll probably be coming back here soon myself," Darcy admitted.
"What do you mean?"
Darcy told Brisana about Brian and the attack and how she planned to get help at the center. It was the third time she had repeated the story, but already it had less of a grip on her, as if each time she told it, she healed a little bit.
"You were the only one who warned me about Brian. You tried to help, and I never listened.
I'm just returning the favor," Darcy said.
"Oh, Darcy," Brisana said, stunned at the news. "I'm so sorry that happened to you."
"It's okay," Darcy replied, swallowing her own emotions. "Brisana Meeks," a firm voice said, breaking their conversation. A young, dark-skinned woman with braids pulled tight behind her head stood over them with a warm smile.
"I'm Dr. Stiles. Can you come with me?"
"Sure. Can I bring my friend?"
"Absolutely," she said, leading them back into a small examination room. The room was lined with medical posters. One of them was titled, "Female Reproductive System," and looked like something out of Darcy's health class textbooks from 8th grade.
"So tell me why you're here," Dr. Stiles said, directing Brisana to sit on the room's small examination table.
"I think I might be pregnant. I was with this boy, we weren't careful, and now my period's 5 days late," Brisana said, as if she was ashamed.
Dr. Stiles nodded thoughtfully and quickly examined Brisana, listening to her heartbeat, taking her pulse, and checking her eyes, ears, and throat.
"Let me guess," she added. "Your parents don't know, and the boy doesn't want anything to do with it."
Brisana nodded, wiping her eyes.
"Well, you're not alone, and you came to the right place, which is one good thing. Another good thing is that you seem completely healthy. Now, the pregnancy test is painless and easy. You'll know in a few minutes. The hard part will be if you're pregnant, but let's do the test first. I need you to go in the bathroom and urinate in this," the doctor said, holding out a small plastic cup. Brisana looked squeamish, but took the cup and headed to the bathroom. A moment later, she came out with the cup
and the doctor took it and disappeared.
I'm so scared, Darcy.
Darcy put her hands on Brisana's back reassuringly, though she was worried too. Dr. Stiles returned after a few minutes. The room suddenly felt charged, like the sky a second before a lightning strike. Brisana, have you been nervous the past week or so?
Yeah, why?
Because your test came back negative. You're not pregnant. Sometimes if you're really nervous or upset, you can make your period irregular. If you don't get it in a week, I want you to give me a call, the doctor said.
You mean, I'm not pregnant?
Brisana asked, as if she didn't believe the words. Darcy sighed with relief.
Nope, but if you keep doing what you did, you will be. I see too many girls your age in here each day not to use my time to give you a little advice.
First of all, you don't have to have sex. No one ever got hurt from waiting a while. At the very least, if you're thinking about sex, take the time to make sure you know the person you're with, to make sure he deserves you and isn't using you. And if you do decide to have sex, never do it without protection. Besides pregnancy, there are diseases and young people just like you get sick every day for no reason. We don't need any more suffering in this world. You gotta be careful. And one last thing. If some boy starts telling you he loves you so he can get busy, you need to get away from him, because if he truly loved you, he wouldn't be pressuring you like that. Got it? Brisana nodded. Good. Now we got counselors across the hall you can see if you want to talk to someone. And you can always find me here if you have questions. But to tell you the truth, it would make me happiest if I saw you in 5 or 10 years with a good man at your side, she said with a smile. Then pregnancy will be what it was meant to be. Good news. You hear me?
Thanks, doctor, Brisana said, as if she had suddenly been freed from prison.
As they left the office, they passed through the waiting room. Several young women waited anxiously in the plastic chairs. One teenaged girl was seated exactly where Brisana had been when she first came in. An older woman, probably her mother, sat next to her. Neither of them said anything, but neither of them had to. Darcy knew exactly what they were there for. So did Brisana.
Not every test comes out like mine, does it?
Brisana said knowingly as they left the office.
No, it doesn't,
Darcy replied, noticing a second hallway leading to the side of the building. A sign overhead read, Little Learning Spot Community Daycare Center. Use entrance at rear of building.
That's where Tara works. I should stop and see her, Darcy said.
You can wait here if you want. Brisana paused for a second.
No, I should thank her. I know she figured it out. She's not stupid.
Darcy smiled. Another secret was being washed away.
Good, let's go.
Together, Darcy and Brisana walked around the outside of the building. As they turned toward the back entrance, Darcy heard the laughter and cheerful screams of children. Up ahead, a metal fence surrounded a small playground full of little kids. Several adults were watching them play. Darcy spotted Tara immediately. She was leaning over, playing with a little boy next to a sandbox. He looked to be about 3 years old, Darcy thought. The boy was holding a plastic shovel, using it to build a little hill. Tara tended to him carefully, asking him questions and making sure he wasn't getting too dirty. Darcy didn't want to disturb her, but then Tara saw them through the corner of her eye.
Give me 1 second, JJ. I'll be right back, Tara said, walking over to greet them.
She looked back and forth as if she was trying to figure out what to say. Everything's okay, Tara, Darcy said, careful not to reveal too much, just in case Brisana wasn't ready.
The test was negative, Brisana said, looking straight at Tara,
a person who had once been her enemy.
It's the first test that I've ever failed, but I'm not complaining.
Amen to that, Tara said. I love kids, but when 5 o'clock comes, I'm ready to leave. When you're a mom, the job is 24/7. No time off. Not unless you got lots of help. I don't know if I'm ever going to be ready for that.
Me neither, Brisana agreed.
JJ tossed a shovel of dirt onto his pants and grinned as if it was exactly what he wanted to do. Tara shook her head.
Well, while you two are waiting for your own kids, you can come to my house, Darcy said.
Brisana and Tara looked at her and then looked at each other in confusion.
Darcy, what are you talking about? Brisana asked.
My mom's pregnant, and in February there's going to be another member of the Wills family. You two can help babysit.
Tara and Brisana's jaws dropped, and both girls hugged Darcy.
Congratulations! They cheered together.
Darcy closed her eyes, squinting back tears and enjoying the embrace. The summer secrets had finally lost their grip. The distance that once separated her from her friends and family had vanished like fog beneath the bright sun. While the scars from Brian's attack lingered, Darcy knew she would spend the summer dislodging them. She would heal. Looking at the warm smiles on her friends' faces, Darcy heard Grandma's words echo like music in her heart.
Everything's gonna be okay, Angel Cake. You'll see. You're gonna be just fine.
And for the first time since the summer began, Darcy knew the words were true.
This has been a Townsend Press production from the Bluefoot series of books, Summer of Secrets by Paul Langan and read by Shayna Walker. This audiobook was produced by Audiobright and features the music of Kenyon Whittington. For more information, visit our website at townsendpress.com.